Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 32. Isaiah 32. I want to read to you a passage of scripture that I read on last week. Repeat that. And on last Sunday, I brought you a message entitled The Work of Righteousness. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Christ ever came. His prophets were for the people of that day immediately, but also looking down through time. Many prophecies in the book of Isaiah that relate to us, and they're also very practical lessons that relate to us, great gospel truths. And one of those truths is pictured for us in chapter 32, and this morning I'm going to be dealing with chapter 33 for the bulk of the message. But I want you to look with me, be reminded. First of all, look at verse 1 of chapter 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. A man shall be an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a rock in a weary land. Now notice he's talking about a person. And person is going to be that. Who is that? It's going to be Messiah. It's going to be Jesus Christ, who has already come. Jesus has already been born. And we know who he's talking about now. He's talking about Christ. And his work is work of righteousness. Look down at verse 17 of chapter 32. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. I preached to you last week on righteousness. The Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's no good thing in us. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible said that we've all sinned and gone astray. The Bible says that God hath concluded all under sin. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. Titus says, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so we don't get saved by doing good things. And here it talks about the work of righteousness. That is his righteous work in us, whereby he took all of our sin on himself and imputed to us his righteousness, put on our record his righteousness. But notice that not only does it talk about in that past scripture the work of righteousness, but it talks about the effect of righteousness. What righteousness has wrought. And so when you get saved, there's a change that takes place. It's not just you deciding you're going to start going to church, or that you're going to start reading your Bible, or that you're going to join somebody's church, or that you're going to be baptized. Because he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And the new birth experience, something really happens. There's a change that takes place. It's not just you making a decision, but it is a transformation. It is passing from death to life, from the power of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. You become a child of the King. You're born again. The Spirit of God comes into your heart crying, Abba, Father, and he indwells you and lives inside of you, and you grow. You're something you've never been. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. You become something you never were. You become a child of the King. You say, well, Brother Billy, I thought everybody that lived on in the earth were children of God. No, we're not. Not until we get born again by the grace of God. We get into his family by a birth process. We're born again by the grace of God. But not only do we notice that experience, that it is him working in us, but notice what it said there. It said, the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and peace forever. And he's going to do that. There's an effect of it. It changes your life. Now, in that regard, look over in chapter 33. For the sake of time, I will not read the whole chapter like I have done in days gone by, because I'm not doing verse by verse exposition, but just whatever God deals with my heart about, I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But look at chapter 33 of Isaiah and verse 32, thinking still about the work of righteousness and the effect of righteousness. It says in verse 14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? Now, what a question to be asked. He said that there's a fearfulness in Zion, Jerusalem, Palestine, the Holy Land. He said there's a fearfulness because of a devouring fire. And what a question to be asked this morning. It says, who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? What are you going to do? Now, you can do along pretty good in this world, but what happens when you die? Because there's only two places that you can go. You either go to heaven for all eternity, a place of quietness and blessing. Bliss. I say quietness, I mean rest. I believe there's going to be a lot of shouting in glory. And somebody said this is the quietest world you'll ever live in. You get to glory, there'll be 10,000s times 10,000s, an innumerable host saying praise the Lamb and glory to God and hallelujah and hallelujah. But he said, you either go to heaven or you'll be in hell for all eternity, weeping and wailing, gnashing teeth. And he said, who among us can dwell with everlasting burning? How can you put up with that? Well, he's going to answer the question. How can you avoid being in hell for all eternity? Notice what it says in verse 15. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ear from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. His eyes shall see the king in his beauty, and they shall behold the land that is very far away. That just blesses me to read. I don't know if you heard that or not, but I'm telling you, I fit into that category right there. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I praise you now for what you've done. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir. And God, for Sister Brenda and Brother LaVon this morning, how they blessed our hearts. And God, for the good congregational singing, to see the excitement about the Sunday school ministry. And Father, for classes working hard to get good numbers of folks under the sound of the gospel. Thank you for this privilege of preaching now. And Father, in the strong name of Jesus, I plead the blood and I rebuke every devil and every demon. God, I pray you'd set souls free. I pray, God, for the liberty of the Holy Spirit of God in my own heart and life. Remove far from me anything that ought not to be there. And God, I pray that I shall have the anointing of God. Our Father, there are people in the radio audience, internet audience, and here in this good, beautiful building you've given us to worship who may not know Christ. Who among us can dwell with that burning forever? Who could stand that? Nobody, Lord. In hell, they lift up their eyes, being in torment day and night forever and ever. And God, I pray that not one boy, not one girl, not one man, not one woman in this building would have to ever face that. God, I'm glad that you made a way to where they don't have to die and go to hell. I'm glad, God, you've made a way to where they can be in heaven for all eternity. Not by works of righteousness which they've done, but according to your mercy. And God, I pray this morning that many, Lord, who may not know that in all the ministries of this church, God, through the medium of the electronics or either here in the building, would come to know the joy of knowing Jesus and have their sins forgiven. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a lot to say, and I want to say it quick as I can to get most of it on the radio this morning. But the effect of righteousness, it does make a difference. Somebody said, what difference does it make? I go to church and this, that, and the other. I have all the problems everybody else has. But what difference does it make? There is an effect of righteousness. Matter of fact, he describes the portrait of a Christian. Now, please understand. Notice what he says about this. This is not how you get righteous. This is not how you get saved. This is a portrait of a saved person. The only way you get saved is by recognizing the fact that you're a sinner and on your way to hell. The Bible said Christ died for the ungodly, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so at that moment when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, he does something wonderful in your heart and life. Now, notice how he describes that Christian. He gives a portrait, I believe, of a saint of God. Somebody who's had that marvelous work of regeneration, who've been born again by the grace of God in their life. Notice what he says in verse number 15. Who is this? Who is it that has been born again, has already been saved? He that walketh uprightly. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you begin to live like a Christian. You begin to live, to walk uprightly, and to live your life differently. I tell you, it's a wonderful testimony when you have people who come and they hear the gospel and they get saved. And then after some time at work or at school or somewhere else, somebody comes to them and said, something's happened to you. You're different. You look different. You act different. You walk different. You're different now. What's the difference? The difference is that you've been born again by the grace of God. You've been washed in the blood. You've been made a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And you walk righteously. Now, you don't walk righteously to go to heaven, but you walk righteously because the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you. And He's helping you to live a right life, right relationship with the Lord. But not only does it affect your walk, it affects your speech. Notice what he said. Not only do they walk righteously, but they speak uprightly. They talk differently. When they get saved by the grace of God, their speech changes. They begin to talk about the things of God. Why? You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so when Jesus is in your heart, there's just an overflowing. You want to talk about the things of God. You want to magnify Him. And your speech, not only the content of it, but the character of it. I mean, before you got saved, you were a cusser, a blasphemer. You spoke angrily to everybody. You had just a terrible disposition. But when you get saved by the grace of God, boy, what a blessing. I heard of, I think it was Dave Ramsey this morning talking about getting Christian hate mail. He said, is that an oxymoron or not? Christian hate mail. He said, I get this hate mail, and they always start off by saying I'm a Christian and quoting a scripture, and then they just rip you to shreds. Yeah. But you know, how can a spring bring forth sweet water and bitter water? Can't happen. He said, if you're saved by the grace of God, what ought to flow out of you ought to be right speaking, uprightly. They speak uprightly. So here's a portrait of a Christian. It's somebody who's got saved by the grace of God. It's not how you get saved. It's the fact that you are saved. You walk uprightly and you speak uprightly. But notice something else. He said he despises the gain of oppression, dishonesty. I mean, they're going to live right. They're going to be honest. They're going to treat their neighbors right. I heard somebody say one time, Gandhi said that if he'd not met so many Christians, he would become a Christian. What an indictment. Now, listen, you get saved by the grace of God, you walk right, you talk right, you live right, you despise dishonesty. You want to be honest and upright. And notice what he said. He shakes his hands from the holding of bribes. That's worldly gain. You don't want any of that. You want it to be right. Everything about you, you want it to be right and above board. He stoppeth his ear at the hearing of blood. When you get saved by the grace of God, it affects what you want to listen to. I mean, you want to listen to good things. You want to hear the Word of God. You want to be where the Word of God's taught and preached. And you listen to that. And that Christian doesn't want to hear all that garbage. Not interested in all that. He wants to stay away from that. Now notice, not only does it affect what you hear, but it affects what you see. It says he shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Hey, man, you don't want to look on that stuff. The Bible said you ought to stay away from that. You ought not to be involved in those type of things. Christian has no reason to want to look at things that are wicked, at pornography and all of that. It's wicked, and you need to stay away from it. It will affect you. And he said, if you're a Christian, you don't do those things. You stay away from those things. Every one of us battle the flesh. But notice he stops his eyes. He's just not going to look. He just refuses because the Holy Ghost of God's inside of him. What he used to enjoy, what used to be a wicked pleasure to him, now no longer will satisfy him. It will cause him to be convicted. It'll bring him to a place of reproach. My dear friend, listen, Christians like that. What a blessing. Now my question is to you, are those characteristics of your life? Is that what you are? The Bible said that he saved us from serving idols to serve the true and the living God. And he said that you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You ought to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He said you're not to yield your members as servants to unrighteousness, but unto God for his glory. You are to do that as a believer. But not only did I want to just quickly this morning, that's a portrait of the believer. That's what happened. That's not how you get saved, but that's what a Christian is. That's how they live. But not only do I want you to notice that, but I want you to notice the wonderful privilege, the effect. I'm talking about the effect of righteousness. The effect of righteousness changes our character, our conduct, and our conversation. But there's more to it than that. Thank God there's an effect to it. Notice what he says in this passage of Scripture. He says he gave us a portrait in verse 15, but he says this about him. He shall dwell on high. My friend, what an effect of righteousness. Now, I do believe you have reference to heaven, but I think it's more to it than that. And there's more to it than that, because the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2 and verse 6. Turn over there. I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. And listen, or either listen just as I read. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. He said this, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." The word quicken means made alive. "For by grace ye are saved. You were dead in trespass and sin, alienated from God, and God saved you by his grace. And because he saved you by his grace," he said this, he quickened you, made you alive. Verse 6, listen, "and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Well, listen, he's talking about our wonderful privilege of position. We're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And we're made to sit together in heavenly places. He put us on a heavenly plane. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I said already. And he said, because of that, he said, now are you the sons of God. Now are you the sons of God. And you're to live like that. He said in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, that you're an heir and a joint heir with Christ. He put us in a first class place. You and I are children of God. We've been raised together to sit in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. My friend, when a man's lost, he's down. David said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, and he set my feet on a solid rock, and he established my going, and he put a new song in my heart, even praise to my God. My dear friend, that's what it means when he raised us up. He took us up out of the lostness of our humanity, took us out of our depravity, brought us into the fellowship of his dear son, and now we live in a spiritual realm as a believer. We're walking here, strangers and pilgrims down here, but our citizenship is in heaven. Our head's already there, praise God. But you and I are to live in that spiritual plane. In other words, God got us a first-class ticket. Most of you riding in coach, say amen. God wants you to live according to your privilege. He said that you're heir and a joint heir with Christ. And it's what he wants us to have. What a privilege to know that you have that in Christ Jesus. But not only that glorious position we have in Christ, but notice the wonderful protection you have in Christ. It said, "He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munition of rocks." Protection in Christ. I'm glad he's protecting me. I'm in Christ. I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get saved by the grace of God, you're in him. He's protected you from every onslaught of the devil and of demons. And my dear friend, you're protected in Christ. You're in his hand. And what a wonderful place to be of protection. In the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalms 91 that they that trust the Lord shall hide under the shadow of the Almighty. And what a wonderful place it is. The Lord, in talking the second time he wept in the Bible, he wept over Jerusalem. You've heard me talk about it many times. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how oft would I gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me that you might have life." I remember old brother J. Harold Lohman telling about that verse, and that verse in Psalms 91 about being under the shadow of the Almighty. Said he was preaching a revival somewhere one time, and said he was out on the front porch of the home he was staying in, just relaxing a little bit in the afternoon. And he said he noticed back in the sky, began to see those thunderheads come, and the wind began to come. And he said a few minutes, he said that wind began to blow. And he said next thing you know, there was a clap of thunder, more lightning and thunder. He said out in that yard, he'd been watching a little mother hen, and she had a bunch of little biddies with her. And they were just feeding all over the yard. He'd enjoyed watching them. But he said just as soon as there was a clap of that thunder, he said that mama went to clucking. He said those little biddies that were out and digging in the dirt and sand, they came a running. She raised the little wings and they came and got up under her, got nestled up real close to her, and said she put the wings back down over those little biddies, and said, boy, they were protected from the storm. My dear friend, he said, Lisa, he said, I'll be a defense I'll be protection for you. And you want to find a place of security and protection, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for our privilege. Now, how did that come to us? It came to us through His righteousness, came through us for His sacrifice on the cross for us. And the fact that we trusted Jesus, that's not what we've done. It's what He's done. Thank God for the position we have in Christ. Thank God for the protection that we have in Christ. And you and I know that while you're in this world, Christ said you will have tribulation. He said that you're going to go through difficult times. You're going to have great tragedy in your heart and life. You're going to have all those things like because you live in a world that's with sin. But He said this, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And He said, all these things, who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It's Christ that died, yea, rather it's risen again. He said, we're His. And regardless of what happens in our life, He's with us. He'll protect us and carry us through it. Oh, you may go through some long, lonely nights, but He made a promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God will give you grace. In the darkest hour of your life, God will give you grace. He's promised to protect you. You say, Brother Billy, how do you do that? John 14, the other night over at the prayer meeting at our home, Brother Barry shared a wonderful Bible lesson. But he read that passage, what our Lord said. He said, I'm going to die now. He said, but listen, don't be afraid. I'm going to send you another comforter, and He shall be with you. He shall be in you. And I'm glad for the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God to protect us. And He's there with us. Not only is the privilege of those who have been redeemed and who have experienced His righteousness that they are dwelling in high places, but they have a defense. Notice it said, but then He said this. He said, so far as us, He said, bread shall be given to him and his water shall be sure. Not only do we have the blessing in Christ, the effect of righteousness is position and protection, but thank God it's provision. He's going to give us bread and water. And you say, well, brother, really, that doesn't mean much to me. Depends on how hungry you are. Depends on how hungry you are. I'll tell you right now, that bread that He gives you will sustain you. He's going to make provision for you. He's going to give you everything you've ever needed. He'll provide for you, give you all that you needed. All your needs shall be supplied in Him. He's made that promise to us. Every need will be supplied in Christ. Oh, you think about what you've got in Christ, what He's provided for you, not what you earned, not what you deserve, but what He gave you because of His righteousness. You say, Brother Peter, what is it? Here's what He gave you. He gave you life that will never be forfeited. He gave you a relationship that can never be broken. He gave you righteousness that can never be tarnished. He gave you a peace that can never be destroyed. He gave you an acceptance that will never be questioned. He gave you an inheritance that will never fade away. He gave you a title that can never be disputed, and that's all in Christ. I'm telling you right now, when you get Christ, you get the whole package. Amen? And when you get Him, you get everything, and thank God for it. I remember Craig Edwards told the story over in the old building, I believe, about the man who had one son and was a very wealthy man. And that man died and he left everything to be auctioned off. And one of his prized possessions was a portrait of his son. And they came to bid on all of his great treasures. But the first item put up for auction was a portrait of his son. And when the people looked at that, that didn't have any meaning or significance to them. They wanted his jewelry. They wanted his silverware. They wanted his expensive furnishings. But the first item, according to the man in his will, to be voted on was the picture of his son. And nobody even bidded on it. Finally, one of the servants of the house loved that young boy. And he said, I don't have much money, but I'll give you $5. And he said, sold. And he said, auction's closed now. They said, what? Auction's closed? Yes. He said, it's stipulated in the will that whoever gets my son gets everything else I've got. Praise God. When you get the son, you get everything else he's got. In Christ, wonderful provision. Thank God for it. You get everything in Christ. Everything came to us because of Him. But oh, listen, not only that wonderful provision, but listen, this ought to bless you. It ought to bless you. Verse 17. Notice this is all because of His righteousness. Not only His position in Christ, not only our provision in Christ, and not only our protection, but notice our prospect. Verse 17, thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty, and they shall behold the land that is very far off. I tell you right now, when you trust Jesus Christ, the wonderful, blessed prospect is this. We shall behold Him. We'll get to see Him where He is. Jesus prayed in John 17 a wonderful prayer called the High Priestly Prayer. And here's what He said. Father, I pray that they might be where I am, that they might behold me in my glory. We're going to get to see the King in all of His beauty. Oh, my friend, I've never seen Him. And I know that there are pictures that represent Him. But I don't put much stock in any of that. Don't do that, because it may not look nothing like that. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're saved, you'll know Him. You'll know Him when you see Him. My dear friend, when you get to be with Him, you'll get to see Him and behold Him in all of His glory. But the prospect is this, they'll get to see the land that is very far off. Folks can't see it. Folks can't see it. The Bible said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. And you say, Brother Ben, does that mean that we don't have a clue what heaven's like? No, because the verse goes on. It said, eye hathn't seen it, ear hadn't, but the Spirit of God has revealed it to us. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, you ever had one of those experiences where you get caught up in third heaven? No, I haven't. I wouldn't mind having one. If the Lord wanted me to have one, I'd take it. But you know what? I have seen it. I've seen the land that's fairer than day. I've seen in my heart. Yes. I've seen it day by day. And there's nothing to keep you going like being able to see that land that's a very far way off. They're looking. It says of that crowd that came out, that they didn't mind, for they could have went back. But they didn't want to do that because they were looking for a city. Listen, whose builder and maker was God. I've got my eyes set on the city. I've seen it in my heart and mind. I'm heading that away. Thank God. Listen, you can look beyond. You say, well, things look rough. You're not looking far enough down the road. You're not looking far enough down the road. You say, well, Brother Bill, I'm battling and my body's racked with pain and I got cancer. You're not looking far enough down the road. See yourself skipping up and down streets of gold and shouting and praising God when He gives you a brand new body like in His glorious body. If you'll just look a little further down the road, look a little farther. See that city that's afar off? Oh, you say, Brother Billy, I'm going through such difficult times and finances and every other way. You're just not looking far enough down the road. You say, I can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Praise God, I'm not looking in the tunnel. I'm looking in the glory. Amen. And what I see in glory is all your discomfort gone, all your pain gone, all your sadness gone, all your worries gone, all your sickness gone, everything gone. If you get lined up just right, you can see it. You get lined up just right, you can see that land that's fairer than day. I've heard many a story about a dear saint of God who came down to the cross of the river, and when folks had gathered around the bed and they worried about Grandma going home, Grandma would sit up in the middle of the bed and she'd open her eyes and said, can y'all see it? Can y'all see it? It's the most beautiful place I've ever seen in all my life. Well, my dear friend, let me tell you something. It is. It's the greatest thing you've ever seen. You get lined up just right with Him and walk with Him. You'll look beyond all of this. You'll look beyond this. Think about our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, who for the joy that was set before Him despised the cross, endured the pain for the joy that was set before Him. We can put up with anything for a little while because we go into a city whose builder and maker is God. My dear friend, what a prospect for those who know the Lord. They can do what they want to, and we can go through all every kind of thing in the world. There's a better day coming down the road. There's a better day for the saint of God. We shall see Him in all of His beauty, and we can see that land that's a very far way off. Can you do that this morning? Can you do that? God has to give you a right perspective to live in this world that you're living in. Because He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.